So we're up to the Gemara on the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we're going to get another statement of Rav Chinina Saba Mishmei Derav, because we started with one of them that was related to Birchas Kriyashma. If you don't say MS V'yatzav in the morning, MS Amunah at night, you're not Yotzei. So here, this is a statement related to Tefillah, but not Kriyashma per se. And it's a very common question that comes up all the time. It comes up. Firstly, it comes up, obviously, what you're about to see the Gemara is talking about, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when there are changes we make to the tefillah, and if you forget to make those changes, that is issue number one. Issue number two is not raised in the Gemara, but is actually Yushalmi quoted by Tosos. I think it is currently, according to my watch, January 3rd. So I think today is the first day that if you're not sure whether you said B'sein Talumata Levracha, you don't have to repeat and go back. The Yushalmi talks about 30 days, so we'll talk about that a little bit as well, what exactly that means. The 30 days is obviously about habitualization of the new Nusach. So the Gemara here is going to present the Sugya, and they're actually going to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. What if you forget to say Hakel HaKadosh, or you forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh, or you forget to say HaMelech HaMishpat? So what happens in those cases? What happens if you forget Zochreinu, or Michamocha, or Uchsov, or B'Sefer Chaim? So the Gemara doesn't talk about the last four editions, because those are not from the Gemara. Those four editions, Zochreinu, Michamocha, Uchsov, and B'Sefer Chaim, are from the Gaonic period. They're not mentioned in the Gemara, but Tosus is going to raise them. But the two that are mentioned are the ones that are the, what we tend to think of as the more, I don't say important ones, but the ones that we know that might count a little more in terms of if you make a mistake. So the Gemara says on the second line, all year round, you say Hakel HaKadosh, and you say Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. Now, for the record, this is in fact what we do, but what the halacha that's sometimes quoted, I think by the Mechaber, actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless one considers the possibility that there actually was a different nusach. The Rif, not printed in our Rif, but there are Rishonim who quote the Rif that year round you don't say Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, you say Kel Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. Now, I see Rabbi Luchstein is surprised at that, at least by his facial expression, but it actually helps make a lot of sense out of the fact that I believe it might be a machlokas the Mechaber and Ramah. What happens if you forget to say HaMelech HaMishpat during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and instead you say Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat? So our practice, certainly B'nai Ashkenaz, is we don't go back. Yet, the Gemara is going to treat these two, Hakel HaKadosh and HaMelech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, or Melech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat, it's going to be what the Gemara says, they're brushed with the same brush. So if we go back when we say Hakel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, why don't we go back when we say HaMelech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat instead of HaMelech HaMishpat? Now the answer given is, oh, because we mentioned Malchus anyway, because we said Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat. But the Gemara knew that also, right? So when the Gemara puts the two together, and we're going to read the Sugya in a moment, so then why would we distinguish between the two? But if you in fact have such a girsa, which apparently did exist in the Rif, of year-round you say Hakel HaKadosh and Kel Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, then I understand why the Gemara would say that if you say HaMelech, if you say Hakel HaKadosh or Kel Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva you go back. But our practice, for whatever reason, is that year-round we already say Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat. So once you have Malchus mentioned there, you don't have to, even though you're supposed to say HaMelech HaMishpat, not Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, nonetheless, that's enough not to have to go back. But anyway, Rabba says that all year-round, you read the Yudavin Shemon Esrei with these particular conclusions to the brachos. Chutz me'asar yomim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim shemispalel HaMelech HaKadosh v'HaMelech HaMishpat. Now, HaMelech HaKadosh doesn't really require much commentary, although it is, I think, a rabbinic expression. As you'll see in a moment, and you might remember from the Shmon Esrei, from the Amida, excuse me, not the Shmon Esrei, the Amida of the Yomim Noraim, there is a pasuk that actually has the expression HaKel HaKadosh. It's a pasuk from Yeshaya, and we say, HaKosu v'yigba Hashem tzvakos pa mishpat, v'HaKel HaKadosh nikdosh in the Aleppo Codex, even though it makes no sense, Rabbi Lukstein, it's nikdosh bitztaka, not nikdash bitztaka. So we have the expression hakel hakadosh, and it means the God, the holy God. Grammatically speaking, it makes sense. Hamelech hamishpat is a very, very odd expression. The reason it's very odd is because when you say hamelech hagadol, so gadol is an adjective. So you can have melech gadol is a great king. And if you want to say the great king, you say hamelech hagadol. You put the hey hayidiyah on both parts of the phrase. That only works when you have a noun and an adjective. Melech is a noun, and so is mishpat. If you want to say the king of justice, then you have to, what we call, use the bound form, which is melech hamishpat, and the hey on the word hamishpat, in fact, is the definite article. You say the king of justice. You know, in modern Hebrew, I don't want to say mistaken Hebrew. So today people would say ani holech el habeit knesset, which is technically speaking, I don't want to say it's grammatically wrong. It's probably modern Hebrew, but in rabbinic Hebrew, classical Hebrew, if you want to say the Beit Knesset, you say Beit HaKnesset. In a similar way that you don't say Batei Knesiot as the plural, but you say Batei Knesset, but not anymore. That's not, the Hebrew language has changed. But Rashi is sensitive to the fact that Hamelech HaMishpat doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So Rashi says, yes, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but there are a number of places in Tanakh Rashi lists, and the Bekiyas is just astounding. When Rashi read Tanakh, he immediately saw the grammatical problems. So he's collected for us a number of examples where we have, for example, Nos'ei Ha'aron Habris. It should have been Nos'ei Aron Habris, which is an expression. We do have Aron Habris, but sometimes, for reasons not known to us, you have this odd grammatical construction of having two ha'idiyahs with two nouns, and it really means an adjective, in effect. It means Hamelech HaMishpat either means the just king, or it still means the king of justice, one or the other. Okay, but bottom line is that as odd as it is grammatically, we say Hamelech HaKadosh, which makes sense, and we also say Hamelech HaMishpat. So that's what you're supposed to say during Aser Simei Tshuva. Now, if we were to stop here and we were to look at this statement in the name of Rav, the question we might have is, okay, you're supposed to say Hamelech HaKadosh. You're supposed to say Hamelech HaMishpat. Okay, you know, there are a lot of things we're supposed to do, but if we don't do, the world doesn't end. The question is, what happens in this case? According to Rav, do you now have to repeat your Amida? That's the question. So from Rav's formulation itself, there's no way to know. The way you're supposed to do it year-round is this way. The way you're supposed to do it on Yom Ha'Raim is that way. Okay, that's what you're supposed to do. So now, if Rabbi Lazar Omar, Afilu Omar Hakel HaKadosh Yatsa, Shenemar Vayigba Hashem Tzvakos Bamishpat V'Hakel HaKadosh Nikdash Bitztaka. So he'll explain in a moment what to do with this verse. But Rabbi Lazar says that if you said Hakel HaKadosh, and he doesn't say anything about if you said Melech HaYitzak HaMishpat, Kel HaYitzak HaMishpat, but presumably, I think the Gemara assumes, the Rishonim assume, it'll clear later in the Sugya, they're the same thing. Rabbi Lazar says if even during the Aser Simei Tshuva, if you said Hakel HaKadosh, or if you said Melech Ohev, or Kel Ohev Tzak HaMishpat, whatever it is, you're Yatza. Now, how do you know this from the Pasuk? He says, when is it that God is elevated in justice? Obviously, when is it Vayigba Hashem Tzvakos Bamishpat? During the Aser Simei Tshuva. And yet, it's V'Hakel HaKadosh, V'Kamar HaKel HaKadosh, Nikdash Bitztaka. So therefore, what you see, that even when God is sitting on the throne of judgment, we still can say Hakel HaKadosh. It's still okay. So Rabbi Lazar says that you say Hakel HaKadosh, it's fine. Now, you can ask a question about Rabbi Lazar as well, which is, according to Rabbi Lazar, what are you supposed to say? We know that if you say Hakel HaKadosh, Yotze, are you supposed to say Hamelech HaKadosh? Now, when he uses the formulation Afilu Amar Hakel HaKadosh Yotza, it implies two things. It implies, number one, is that Rav holds, you're not Yotze. Number two, it implies that according to Rabbi Lazar, l'chatchila, preferably, you're supposed to say HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. But if you said HaKel HaKadosh and you said not HaMelech HaMishpat, whatever that is, Yatza, you're Yotze. Now, this question actually reverberates in the Rishonim. Because as we're going to see, there's a machlokas HaRishonim. I know this may be surprising. This was very surprising to me. I encountered this not in preparing for this, but several months ago. I don't know why I was looking into this issue. And I was surprised to see that there's a whole group of Rishonim who say that if you say HaKel HaKadosh during the Seres Meitshuva, you don't have to go back. Much to my chagrin, being somewhat absent-minded, I wish that we could rely upon that sheet on a regular basis. It would help me a lot, personally. I suspect others too, but certainly I can speak for myself. So the question, though, is what does Rabbi Lazar hold, l'chatchila, and what does Rav hold, b'di'evet, after the fact? So, again, the formulation right now in this statement would suggest that Rabbi Lazar agrees that l'chatchila, you're supposed to say HaMelech HaKadosh, and Rav holds that b'di'evet, you're not Yotze when you said HaKel HaKadosh. However, the Gemara continues and says the following. My Hava Allah, what was the conclusion? What was the maskana of this discussion? The Gemara now quotes, Amar Rabbi Yosef, HaKel HaKadosh and Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. And Rabba says, HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat, V'Hilchasah K'Rabba. Now I ask you the question. When you look at Rabbi Yosef's formulation, according to Rabbi Yosef, what are you supposed to say l'chatchila during the Aser Simei Tshuva? If you look at the two statements in parallel, Rabbi Yosef says, HaKel HaKadosh Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat.
You don't change.
Melech Mishpat.
You wouldn't change. You wouldn't change. You wouldn't change.
They both, in other words, if you're going to say, and clearly Rabba's l'chatchila, that's what you're supposed to do, Rabbi Yosef's formulation is perfectly parallel. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yosef, you're not supposed to change. You're supposed to say, HaKel HaKadosh Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. Now, that corresponds to Rabbi Elazar Shita. Now, you could say there are actually three Shitas in the Gemara. You could say that there's Rabbi Yosef who says, you're never supposed to change the Nesach, you always say, HaKel HaKadosh and Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. And then there's Rabbi Lazar, who says that l'chatchila during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you're supposed to say HaMelech HaKadosh and Mel HaMelech HaMishpat, but if you didn't, you're Yotze. And then there's Rav, who says that you're not even Yotze. But we generally try not to create more opinions in the Gemara. And in all likelihood, Rabba maps to Rav's opinion, and Rabbi Yosef maps to Rabbi Elazar's opinion. If that's the case, you really have to decide, and this, I think, is the root of the machlokas amongst the Rishonim, you have to decide whether or not you see the formulation of Rabbi Elazar is the primary one, or Rabbi Yosef is the primary one. Rabbi Elazar, who implies that even he agrees that you say HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, but you're Yotzei if you didn't, or Rabbi Yosef, who sounds like, no, You're not supposed to say HaMelech HaMishpat or HaMelech HaKadosh. You're supposed to say HaKel HaKadosh and Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat. Now, it is also possible, by the way, the question then is, assuming that you adopt Rabbi Yosef's position, it is still possible that according to Rabba and Rav, that you're not Yotzei the other way. In other words, Rabbi Yosef says, you're supposed to say it this way. We don't know what Rabbi Yosef holds exactly if you said it the other way. Although if he holds like Rabbi Lazar, I think it's clear that you're certainly Yotze if you said HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat, even if you believe you're supposed to keep the brachos the same. But it's possible that we have a very widespread. It's possible that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yosef believe that you're supposed to leave the Nusach the same. You're Yotze if you didn't. And Rabba and Rab believe you're supposed to change the Nusach and you're not Yotze if you didn't. But really, there are a series of possibilities where on the spectrum to put each of these two, if it's only two opinions, if that is the case. Not surprisingly, it's a machlokas HaRishonim. So I'm sorry, let me bring up the riff. Let me bring it up and then I'll share my screen. Okay. So the Rif says the following. V'amar Rabba bar Chinana Saba mishmei the Rav. Kol hashana kula mispal adam hakel hakadosh. And again, in our Rif it says HaMelech. Melech hoyev tzedakah mishpat, but there are versions that read Kel ohev tzedakah mishpat. Chutz me'asaras hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah le'yom HaKippurim shu mispal HaMelech hakadosh v'HaMelech hamishpat. Rabbi Lazar Amar Afilu Asar Ayamim Shemred Shashan Yom Kippurim Amar Akela Kadosh Akela Mishpat. So here, right here, you see it. Yotza Shenemar Vayigba Hashem Tzvakos Ba Mishpat Vakela Kadosh Nidash Pitzdaka. My Havala VaAsikna. The conclusion was VeHilchas HaMelech Hakadosh VaMelech Hamishpat. Up until this point is all really the Rif. Now, really the Gemara. Now the Rif adds Umide Asikna Hachi. From the fact that we conclude that way, Shmamina. The Lisa the Rabbi Elazar, we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar. The Omar, Im Omar, Hakela Kadosh Hakela Mishpat Yatza. We don't hold like Rabbi Elazar. In other words, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef go together. We don't paskin that way, and therefore, Ela lo Yatza, Vechevan Shalo Yatza, Tzarech Lachzar, Vechein Hilchasa. So you have to go back, which means when you if you realize that you said, the Rishonim say that if you said Hakela Kadosh, and within Toch Kedei Dibur, you remember that it's Aseres Yemei Tshuva and you say, HaMelech HaKadosh, then you don't have to go back. But once Toch Kedei Dibur has passed, whether or not you were just silent, or whether you started Atachonein, or if it's Shabbos, you started Atakidashta, or whatever else it is, you have to begin the entire Amida, because the first three brachos are a unit. And if you make an error and batch a bracha in the middle of them, you go back to the first one. The same thing, by the way, holds true if you forget to say Mashiv Aruach Amored Hageshem, and you finish Mechayi HaMesim, whether you did or didn't start, or you started Hakel HaKadosh, you don't go back to Atagibor, you go back to the beginning of the entire Amida. Okay, so that was the Rif's opinion. Perhaps not surprisingly, the Baal HaMor does not agree. Let me just see, I don't know if they printed it, if it's in this version of the Bar Ilan. Otherwise, we'll have to take Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. Here we go, the Baal HaMor. So the Baal HaMor writes the following: My Hava Allah, Rabbi Yosef Amar Akela Kadosh Vakela Mishpat, Rabba Amar Melech Kadosh Vamelech Mishpat, VeHilchasa Karaba LeMevan Hochi LeChatchila. That's what you're supposed to do, preferably. But VeIshani Lo Mahadrinan Lei. But if you made a mistake, you don't have to go back. The Leslan Raya Mehocha LaDuri. There's no proof from the Gemara that you have to go back. Uda Amar Rabba Barchana Mishmei the Rav Shemispal Adam Amelech Kadosh Vamelech Mishpat. That's what you're preferably supposed to do. Shemis palokach. But Rabbi Lazar Amar Amara Kalakadosh Kalamish, but Yotza b'diavad Kamar. V'lo pligi elamara machada umara machada. So the Baal HaMor understands the beginning of the Gemara is actually no machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rav. That Rav is talking about lichatchila, and Rabbi Lazar is talking about b'diavad. Now, to be honest with you, that is a very, very difficult read of the Gemara. One of the, there are three words here, the Rabbi Elazar Omer, which tells you why the Baal HaMor's reading is very difficult. There's a rule that the Rishonim note frequently, which is that when you have Omar Rav Ploni, that's a new statement. When you have Rav Ploni Omar, that's arguing on what came before. It's a klal that's noted by many Rishonim. I think, I don't want to say it's intuitive, but it is standard. Had it said, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Im Amar Akel HaKadosh Ramelech HaMishpat Yatza, the Baal HaMor would have a strong argument. But it says, V'Rabbi Elazar Omer, which suggests, but Rabbi Elazar says, that if you say Akel HaKadosh and Akel HaMishpat, your Yotzei implies that he's actually arguing on Rav. Okay, nonetheless, this is the position of the Baal HaMor. Not surprisingly, the Ravid attacks him, and the Ramban disagrees as well. I believe, it's not explicit, but I believe if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam agrees with the Baal HaMor. The Rambam doesn't, I believe, say anywhere that you have to be Hoser if you forgot to say it. The Rambam does quote the Din. Maybe my memory is deceiving me. I should really, you know what? I'll show you that one of the very nice features of the Bar Ilan is that if we look at the Gemara, we can actually click. If there were a Tzion, unfortunately, there is no link to the. Wow. Does our Gemara have one? Our Gemara does. They made a mistake. Did they miss it here? Oh, no, it's here. Sorry. Right here. Click on the link. We can go to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kol ha'shana kula chosein bebrocha shlishis hakel ha'kadosh ubebrichos ashtey esrei melech ha'ev tzedakah ha'mishpat. Uvaseres hayamim shemir ha'shoshana and motzei yom ha'kipurim chosein b'shlishis ha'melech ha'kadosh uvashtey esrei ha'melech ha'mishpat. Now, interesting. Look at the next Rambam. He says, this is not our... Not all of this is our minhag. Half of it is. He says, Yesh mekomos, shenagu lehosif basar yamim eilu bebracha rishona, zachreinu lechayim, uveshniya michamocha av harachamim, uvehodaz zachar rachamecha, that's our very long one that we add just in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and on all the tefillahs of Yom Kippur, for the Chazaras HaShatz. Umosifim mebracha achrona besefer chayim. That is our minhag mostly. V'chein yesh mekomo shenagu lahosif baseres yamim eilu bebracha shlishis uv'chein tein pachtecha uv'chein tein kavod uv'chein sadikim. In other words, there are people, now I never heard of anybody who has the practice, as they say the three uv'cheins, all the aseres yamei tshuva. That would make davening a lot longer during the week. I mean, it already is long, but avol b'rosh hashanah v'yom ha'kipurim, the Rambam says, minog pashadu lahosif b'shlishis uv'chein tein pachtecha. So I'm going to just posit from the silence of the Rambam, he knows, the Gemara doesn't say explicitly that you have to be choser, although with the Rif's reading and the reading of many we've shown him, it's pretty close to explicit. If Rav Lazar says, yatza, Rav holds lo yatza. The Rif makes an explicit comment. The Rambam was a big follower of the Rif. It's surprising to me if the Rambam agreed with the Rif, that it would have been surprising for me that he didn't add in a line. He didn't add in a line to say, Vim shachach that he's choser. I think that the Rambam holds like the Baal Hamor that you don't have to go back. Nonetheless, if we click on the Shulchan Aruch here, the Shulchan Aruch will say ba'aseris yemei tshuva omer hamelach hakadosh hamelach hamishpat v'yento shol mesupakum hamelach hakadosh choser l'rosh. If you're not sure, you have to go back because you haven't been saying it for 30 days. Obviously, there are only 10 days in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in accordance with the same idea that George Washington's white horse was white. So, v'imhuba amelach ha'mishpat, im nizkar kodem sha'akaraglav, choza lebrachas ha'shiva, v'omer misham ve'elach ha'aseder. By melach ohev tzedakah ha'mishpat, if you realize later you forgot, you don't go back to the beginning of the unit, the atachonein, you go back to ha'shiva shovteni k'reishon ha'yotzeni k'vat p'chila. Okay, but if you don't remember until after you finish the Shemoneh Esrei and Lizkarch Akaraglov, Choser LaRosh, that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't remember where HaMelech Melech Oiv Tzedakah. Oh, here it is. 1 second. Here he says if you Choser Tokeh Deidibor. So I don't remember if it's the Ramah who disagrees or Mechaber quotes it earlier. It's the Mishnah Berurah. Our practice is because we say Melech Oiv Tzedakah Mishpat. We're not choser for that brach. Okay.
Do Sfaradim not say the other insertions? Because it seems like the Rambam says Yesh Makomo Shenagu. It sounds like he didn't do it.
I don't know, but I would be surprised if they don't. If he already knows of it, he's probably not thinking of Ashkenaz. And it doesn't come from Ashkenaz. It comes. We're going to look at Tosas now for what I'll call the third opinion. It comes from the Gaonic period. So if it comes from the Gaonic period, I presume it makes some inroads into Sephardic communities. So far we've seen effectively two opinions in the Gemara. One is that if you make a mistake and you forget to make the changes, you do go back. And if you forget to make the changes, you don't go back. But the Gemara only spoke about two of the six changes that we make. Tosas, however, writes the following, the second Tosas, V'hilchasa kevasei d'rabba, d'tzarech lachtom ha'melach ha'kadosh v'ha'melach ha'mishpat, v'im lo amar, machzirinoso. Tosas says you have to go back, like the Rif, like the Ravid, like the Ramban. Now Tosas says, v'chein, and this would be a real nightmare for us, v'chein, zochreinu, u'michamocha, u'chsov l'chaim, u'v'sefer chaim, machzirinoso lo amar. Tosas says if you leave them out, you have to go back. Anybody who changes from the form that Chazal imprinted on our tefillah, you have to go back. Which is very strange, by the way, because normally that's only in the Chasimas HaBracha, not in the middle of a bracha, right? Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaTzakal Mishpat. Now, those aren't the only cases. The same Talmud of Racha and Mashiv Rachamar Geshem are in the middle of the bracha. It's true, but those also come from the Gemara. Now, Tosfos continues. Pasak Rabbeinu Yehuda. Now, im safek lo, im amar, im lo amar. Rabbeinu Yehuda paskins, if you're not sure, machzir oso. Could the isa be Yushalmi, the tainis perikama? Hayim ispal of en yodea im hiskir talumata vin lav, kol shloshom yom, becheska shalo lamud. 30 days, we assume you're not habituated into saying it, and therefore you have to go back. If you don't remember whether you said b'sein talamat racha, you assume you didn't say it. You assume that you did mitzvah sanashim ulumada, the way we normally daven, unfortunately, which is you did a little by rote, your mind was wandering, you weren't thinking, oh, it's after December 4th, I should be saying b'sein talamat, and it doesn't roll off your tongue automatically. Peirush shelo amar ela kamosha hu lamud ad ata. He explains Yushami means you presumably said what you were habituated to say. Shelo amar kain. You didn't say the same talmud of bracha. Achar kain. After 30 days, becheska shehizkir v'hu adin l'chal advarim shetzarach lahaskir kachadin. It's always 30 days is what determines habit. V'im kain baseres yemei tshuva deleka shloshim yom. The aseres yemei tshuva 10 is less than 30. Therefore, tzarach lach. So you always have to go back. I might be in the Yushalmi. If not, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that one of the things that you can do, if you're like me, who always has a tendency to forget, is that right when we shift and we do it, you can go on your own, and you can let's say you're dealing with Mashivu Rachmar Ageshem. You want to remember to say that. So what you do is you repeat the following 90 times, which is a Mechayim Simata Rav Leoshia Mashivu Rachmar Ageshem. You just repeat that over and over. And by the same talmud of bracha, the same bracha, you do the same thing. You don't have to say the whole bracha. You repeat it 90 times, and it's assumed after that, if you don't remember, you have now rehabituated your tongue to say something else. I received a very interesting shaila from a friend of mine, who's a mechanech, from one of his students, a young woman who, she doesn't daven maror. She davens every day, shachar simcha. It is not assumed that women are accepted upon themselves the obligation of marav. They're obligated, like men, no differently, to daven shachar simcha, but not marav. I know that minhag Yisrael for a long time is that women, many, certainly Ashkenazi women, I know that Sephardi women relied upon the Magen Avram, or the Magen Avram was justifying the practice of saying moda ani, and that's sufficient. But the proper din, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is that they should say shachar and mincha, but not marav. So the question was the following. I think there were a couple of questions, but one of the questions was, how long does she have to go back if she's not sure whether she said the same talmud of bracha? Because when 30 days have passed, it's only 60 tefillos for her. Now, the truth is, as it turns out, there's actually a big machlokas achronim here, what 30 days means. Some say 30 days means 90 tefillos. If that's the case, by the way, it should actually, for the same talmud of bracha, it takes more than 30 days. Because you don't say the same talmud bracha on Shabbos. On the other hand, if you're talking about Masha Baruch Merit Ageshem, it actually takes less than 30 days because Musaf on Shabbos adds extra tefillos in this. So that cuts off, you know, a day or so. So the truth is, because of Safek Brachos Lahakel, we may go both ways. So in this case, I would tell the question actually wasn't the real Shaila. The Shaila was she forgot to say the same talmud bracha and mincha. What do you do? So, because normally you would daven another Shmona, you go back and repeat the Shmona Esrei. And if you remembered after Mincha time was over at night, you daven Maariv twice, but she doesn't daven Maariv. So there's the whole debate here. Rav Rabinovich Zichron Avraha had one approach, Rav Shlomo Zalman had another approach. One, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman said she should daven Maariv that night and then repeat. The second one, I think, sort of as an Adava. And Rav Rabinovich thought he didn't deal with it. He dealt with, I think, a Friday for Leil Shabbos case. But he thought, really, she should just daven Maariv that night. And if you asked me, I think the Davar Pashut is that she should daven Shachris twice the next day. We assume that when you miss it, we'll probably, if anybody remembers, when we get to the fourth parak, God's help, we can hash this issue out and fight about it. But normally we assume you can't make up more than one tefillah, right? You can. And we say that if you miss Shachris, you daven two minchas. You miss mincha, you daven two maariv. That's not so pashut. And the idea that you daven in the next time that you missed, that's not clear at all. Presumably, you daven the next time you missed because that's the next opportunity. But if this young woman doesn't daven normally maariv at all, So I would think that Shachris is the time that she should naturally now daven twice. So we'll leave that till we get to the fourth parak. But it was a, but it was an interesting case. It was the first time I had encountered this idea that maybe it's not 30, maybe it's 90 tefillos versus 30 days. So we are lenient. We are lenient for both. So starting today, if you forget the same, if you're not sure, but what you said, you can assume that you said the same Talmud Talavrach. Now,
Rabbi Weider.
Yes.
Does that mean, and I assume it's obvious, but that means that a male who misses Marib would daven Tishmona Esrei the next Shachris?
Yes.
And let's assume for a minute that you forgot in the morning and then you remembered later in the day that the night before you had forgotten Marav. So how long does the obligation, if you miss the next davening, you're out, right?
That's what we assume. One. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that, I'm not sure why that is so passionate. I don't know that there are, that everybody agrees to that, but I believe that's the practice. From a logical perspective, Tefillah was instituted, at least in its specific forms, corresponding to two different things. One was to the Avos, and the other is to the Karbanos. But by the Karbanos, by that, if you're modeling upon Karbanos, then if you miss it, it's too late, because Avar Zmano Batal Karbano. If you miss the Tamid Shel Shachar, once it's after noon, you can't bring the Tamid, you just can't bring it. You just bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, that's it. And if you didn't bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim in the afternoon, once if you can't bring any Karbanos at night, and you don't can't bring the Karban the next morning, it's Olash Shabbas B'Shabbato, and that's it. The expression is Avar Zmano Batel Karbano. So I presume the basis of, and the Gemara may be explicit about this at the beginning of the fourth parak, the basis of making up a tefillah is on the assumption that it's Tachanunim like the Avos, as opposed to Avoda like the Karbanos. And if that's the case, I don't know why it's so clear. I don't think the Gemara is explicit, but maybe it is, and I've just forgotten. It's not clear to me why you shouldn't be able to. Let's say you forgot, and you were so busy, if you got Shachris too, why you shouldn't be able to daven three tefillos at Mincha. Not sure why that is the case, but I think that practice is you have one makeup period, and after that, it's too late. Okay, now last part in Tosfos, the last part is. A comment about Sotosis just said, by the way, my nightmare scenario, that if you miss any of the four small things, you got to go back. I'm not sure I would have a single time to there seriously made tshuva that I would not have to daven twice. I have a scorecard for myself. I have a mental scorecard. Hamelech HaKadosh is worth 50 points. Melech HaYitzdak Mishpat, even though it's not Ma'akev, because it is in the Gemara, is worth 25 points, and each of the others are worth 6.5. You know, if I cross 80 on a tefillah, I'm feeling good about it. Anyway, but that's what Tosa said. You have to go back for all six of them. The last line, Tosas, and this is, I think, the consensus opinion that we shown him. I think it's not Rabbeinu Hananel, but it's somebody else. Who is it here? Ram. I don't know who Rabbeinu Meir, I presume, I don't know who that is. Kosav Be'in Machzirno, so Mikol Osan Advarim. The lo pasak b'sefer b'feirush. I don't know what this. I know what this expression means. I have no idea how it means it. When you look at all the other Rishonim, what it means is that if the Gemara never stated this. If it's not in the Gemara, even though the Gaonim quote a minhag to do so, while we do follow that minhag, it's not ma'akev. If it's not mentioned in the Talmud, then it's not going to be ma'akev the tefillah. It's not going to prevent us from fulfilling our obligation. Therefore, if you forget it and you finish the bracha already, you may not go back. To go back would be a bracha levatala. Okay, v'hevi raya ledrav, he brought proof. But that, I think, the accepted practices on the four husafos in the first two brachos and in the last two brachos, we don't go back. Once you finish the bracha, you don't go back. Whereas for, and our practices as well for melech ohev tzedakah mishpat, but in hakel hakadosh, if you forgot to say hamelech hakadosh and you didn't say it till kedei dibur, you go back to the beginning of the amida. Rabbi Lichtstein.
Yeah. Is it possible that the four add-ons, Zochreinu and so on, are not Matbea Shetovu Chachomim? Matbea Shetovu Chachomim is just what's in the Gemara. If something ain't from the Gaonim, then it's an add-on, which is important to say, but if you didn't say it, it's not part of Matbea Shetovu Chachomim.
So I think that certainly fits. If I were to choose an analogy where I think, given all our discussions of brachos, you might want to opt on the other. I say that jokingly. You might want to opt on the other side. It's not really true. There is a notion that goes around that any bracha that wasn't instituted by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah doesn't appear in the Gemara, you're not allowed to make. It presents a lot of problems because I think like a bracha like Baruch Shamar is not mentioned in the Gemara. in Eretz Yisrael, for sure, this wasn't true. They had lots of brachos. And we have brachos in our nusach as well that are not mentioned in the Gemara. But there is this very, I call it a Lithuanian notion. If it's not in the Gemara, and Anshei Klas Gadol to make it, we can't do such a thing. Now, if you adopt that position, Rabbi Lookstein, then your position as well makes sense. That once it's not in the Gemara, you can't call it an essential part of Tefillah. So I think that's correct. And you could still make all the Shechianos and Atavamitas you want, because those are in the Gemara, right? We're only, the only debate is what circumstance to apply them in. And you're probably right most of the time. So I think that's the, I think Tosus is really essentially saying that. There is something actually more troubling about the four additions. Not the first two, but the last two. The first two are not particularly problematic, but the last two are problematic because there is a rule that you're not allowed to be shoel tzrachim. You're not allowed to ask for your needs in the first and last three brachos. It's the middle 12 or 13, however you want to count them, which is where we make our bakashos. That's the those are the things that we omit on Shabbos. And so it's very odd. In fact, I first really encountered this issue in a real way studying a Tosos in Megillah. I think it's that Dalet Amid Aleph. It's a very strange Tosos. Tosos starts talking about, I almost couldn't read the Tosos, about a kishem. The fact that how do we say kishem in Al-Anisim? And I had no idea what Tosos was talking about. And then I figured out, looking at Tosos, and you can see in other Rishonim, there used to be a practice, it's not an Ars Sedurim that I've seen, that after you say Al-Hanisim, then, which is just praise of God, then you say some type of tefillah, kishem, that you help them out, you should help us out too. And Tosus just alludes to that in one word. And Tosus is bothered by the fact that how are you allowed to add bakashos to the last or first three brachos? And the answer is that bakashos of the tzibur are different than the bakashos, than the requests, than the beseechings of the yochid. And presumably, kosveinu uchsov l'chaim tovim, and
Sefer Chaim,
right? And even the truth is Kosveinu L'chaim in Zochreinu also runs afoul. Micha Mocha is perfectly innocent, but I guess Zochreinu also falls in that category. The assumption is we're allowed to do that because it's a bakasha, because it's a bakasha shel Rabim, it's not a bakasha shel Yachim, but it's very strange. It certainly doesn't fit with anything the Gemara ever mentions. But the bottom line is Tosus does say you go back for all them. The last opinion is you don't, and our practice is in accordance with that. We do not repeat for missing the four things. We actually don't repeat, as we said earlier, for Melech HaYitzdak HaMishpat, we repeat only if you send a Kelah Kadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh. Okay. Now we get a little bit of Agada. We've had a break from Agada.
One question, Rabbi?
Yes.
What about Osa HaShalom? Where does that come from?
The question is really, what is the correct nusach habracha? It's the same issue, by the way, that comes up with Birchas Kohanim. In the shul which I grew up in, so Rabbi Chaim Oser Chedi, who was a Talmud of Ramosha, was very into this not changing the things. He adopted what I guess is Minhag Eretz Yisrael, which is we always said a Machzir Shechina Salatzion. I always have to remember, I never know where I'm davening. I don't remember what the minhag is in YU. I know in my shul in Tinek, so there you say, I always go remember, like, which one do you do? But I think the question really boils down to what is the correct Nusach of the Bracha? But I think in this particular, I don't know. If it were up to me, we would say Hamachzir Shechina Salatzion. We'd say the same one all the time. What's Minhag KJ?
No, our Minhag, can you hear me?
Yes.
Our Minhag is to do what everybody else does. Show us Cholavad Chavira Navod. Rav Soloveitchik was absolutely against that.
And what did he say? What is Minhag KJ?
Hamachzir Shechina. I mean, Rav Soloveitchik's position was Hamachzir Shechina Salatzion.
Right. And what about during the service to Mechuba for the last bracha? What's Minhag KJ?
We changed it because the Rav said Hamavarech Hasamay Yisrael Shalom. He said Osa Shalom is not in the Gemara.
Right. So that one, our shul also, but that is more common when people say Hamavarech Hasamay Yisrael Shalom. Some people say, oh no, Osa Shalom is supposed to be on the last line of Kaddish. I believe the Aruch HaShulchan rejects that as well. So there is a much stronger strain of saying Hamavarech Shamal Yisrael Bashalom than doing away with Oshol Levad Chabiyur and Avod. It's also
we don't do away with that because we used to say Oseha Shalom also. I brought it in Hamavarech Shamal Yisrael Bashalom because of the Rav. He was very clear about it, and he was also very clear about Hamachzir Shchein Sol Tzion.
Well, we pick our battles. I find it particularly frustrating because I daven Arminat Yisrael Machzor, which doesn't have Shos Chalei Ben Avod. So most of them I've written in the words in case I get confused and get the words out of order. Isaac, you had a question?
I was just going to say that I saw a couple of years ago in Minhagim of the Chafetz Chaim that he would repeat it 90 times. The day that you changed it, he would repeat it 90 times. So it was became habitual. That's an interesting point.
Yes, I am of much lesser stature, and I certainly need to do that.
Rabbi.
Okay.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I just want to get clarification. The difference with Hakel HaKadosh versus some of the others is what the Kedusha? Is it? Why is that when you go back and the others?
Because it's in the Gemara.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. So we now get to Rav Chinuna Saba's Amar Rav's next statement. The Amar Bar Chinuna Saba Mishmei Derav, Kol She'efsho Lelavakesh Rachamim Al Chaveiro Ve'eno Mavakesh Nikra Chote. If you're in a position, meaning you know if someone is struggling, and you could pray on their behalf, and you fail to do so, you're called a Chote. She'nemar, Kam anochi chalila li mechato l'Hashem mechadol lehispalel ba'adchem. I find this to be a rather funny proof text. The text here is from Sefer Shmuel. And I don't remember if we read this. We might read this as the Haftorah of Parshas Korach. We read it as the Haftorah of Parshas Korach because at the end of Shmuel's lifetime, just like Moshe says, lo chamor echad mehem nasasi, so Shmuel says, Eshor mi lakachti, veschamor mi lakachti, vesmi ashakti, vesmi ratzosi, and so on. So in this story, it's Chodesh Nisan. It's the time of Ktzir Chitim, the wheat harvest. And the cloud and the sky fills with clouds as if it's ready to pour down rain, which at the time of the wheat harvest is a disaster. Your crops are going to rot. So Shmuel said, Chalila mi. Chalila, woe is to me that I should refrain from davening to sin, to refrain from davening on your behalf. And so he does. And so God sends the clouds away. This reminds me a little bit. It's not quite the person who kills his parents and pleads for mercy as an orphan. But the reason why there were clouds there in the first place is because Shmuel was angry at them. And he was going to show them that God was angry at them. And so he says, it's kinei kitzir chitim ayom, but I'm going to raise my hands and rain clouds are going to come. So after he brings the clouds, he then disperses them. It's like, yes, if you created someone else's problem, your job is to fix it. So that's why I think it's kind of odd as a proof text for, you know, well, again, of course, empathy is a central human quality. So how could it be that someone else is suffering and you don't pray on their behalf? It's true. But I find the proof text to be kind of clever. All right. So anyway, that's what the Gemara brings as a text. Then Amar Rava and Im Talmud Chacham Hu, if it's a Talmud Chacham, Sarech Sheyechale Atzma Alav. One has to make oneself even sick over the Talmud Chacham sufferings. My Taima, what's the source? Ilema Mishum Dichsiv Ve'en Chole Mikem Alai V'gole Es Osni. Shaul was complaining to his servants. Unfortunately, some of them were sycophants. One of them was actually Doeg HaDomi. This is the story of Nov Ira Kohanim. And Shaul says, no one cares about me. None of you are loyal to me. My son made a covenant with Ben Yishai and nobody told me anything. And Goles as me. No one revealed it to my ears. No one was cholamikem. None of you were feeling sick over me, over my suffering. So the Gemara says, Dilma Melech Shani. Maybe your obligations to a king are more than anybody else. You know, anybody else you should daven for, but to make yourself sick over them, that's only for a king. So, Ella Mehacha. No, you know what the source is? Vani Bachalosam Levushi Sok. This is David HaMelech complaining about the treachery of Doeg and Achitofel, and he said, when they would be sick, I would be wearing sackcloth. You remember that in the Medrash, in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, David had nothing to do with Doeg. Doeg was a slanderer who was a murderer, David had no connection to him. Achitofel, he did have a connection to him. He had been his advisor. But in the world of the Medrash, so these were all figures in the same base Medrash, right? So these were David's chavrusas. It kind of like, I would say, the relationship with David and Achitofel was a little bit worse than the relationship between the Baal HaMor and the Ravid. Said this before, but Rav Lichtenstein was once asked about when Rishonim write sharply, when criticizing other opinions of Rishonim, is that real or is that rhetorical? And he said he thinks it's generally rhetorical, except for the Ravid and the Baal HaMor. That was personal. They were chavrusas when they were younger. They were both from Chachmei Provence, and the Ravid just, you know, pours acid. I think I mentioned to you also that when you look at the Ravid's attacks printed in the Vilna Shas, the regular Vilna Shas, the censors censored out the Ravid's harsh comments. They just put in like one word, Ze'eno, or something like that. But if you go back to the original Kus of Shum, the Ravid Sefer attacking the Baal HaMor, the vituperation is unbelievable. The terminology, you know, when he calls him the Baal HaChoshech, that's being nice. David and Achitofel had been chavrusas, but they had a parting of the ways, apparently.
But what about the Rambam? The Rambam and the Ravid?
No, I think the assumption is the Ravid had a lot of respect for the Rambam.
He mentions more than once. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He mentions the word Hevel at one time.
If you look at the way the Rambam, there's a tshuva of the Rambam, a tshuva and igeris of the Rambam, where the Rambam mentions three figures by name. One of them was the Ravid. One of them was Ibn Ezra. And there's someone in the middle. And each one gets a title in descending order. Ibn Ezra's was Nucho Eden. I mean, in other words, that's how we would say, you know, Olav HaShalom or something like that. The Ravid had some type of a glowing title that the Rambam attaches to his name. Or at first, he was probably alive. But the Rambam, I think, had respect for him. I don't think that was personal. They didn't know each other growing up. The Rambam's Svarim got to Provence and, you know, they were received however they were received. I think it's rhetorical. Isaac, if I were to show you some of the comments that the Ravid makes, the uncensored versions, you'd like, there's a line in Sukkah actually that wasn't censored because the censors were lazy. I don't blame them. They looked at the beginning of the Ravid to see his attack and they neutered those parts. But there's a passage in Sukkah, I think in the first parak, where the Ravid in the middle of the paragraph says the following, Uklal ze yia biyodcha. Shebeolam ze lo hitzliach bechidushav.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh. I think the Baal HaMor was the genius. So was the Ravid. But the Ravid is really, really harsh. And because there's one place where the Ravid accuses, he says, what he said is wrong and it's not his, it was mine. I said it when I was younger and the Ravid changed his mind, thought it was wrong. So he accused him of being incorrect and a plagiarist. It's pretty, it's different than most other things that you would see of two Gedolei Rishonim, you know, with a back and forth. Okay, so anyway, so David said, when they were ill, I put on sackcloth. So that's how you know, Tamu Chacham is sick, so you have to tzarch sheyech la'atzma olel. V'yama Rab Chinana Saba, Mishmei D'Rav, Kola Oser Dvar Avera U'misbayish Bo, Molchalalo Al Kol Avonosav. I think Rashi says, or others say, it doesn't mean all of his sins. It means that sin. If a person doesn't have Avera, but then they're mortified that they did it, so then they will receive mechila on that sin. Shenemar leman tizkiri vavosht velo yielecha od pischonpe mnei klimoseh, so that you should remember and be embarrassed, and you will not be able to open your mouth again because of your shame. When I forgive you for everything that you did. So it's not being read. The simple meaning of the Pasuk in Yechezkel is that, well, God eventually will forgive us. But the fact that God even forgave us and was so generous to us when we misbehaved so badly will be a source of embarrassment. Like, but God does that for us. But here, the way the Gemara is, the way Rav is reading this, is that once we have the shame of being able to open our mouths because of what we did, then the result will be able to chapri lach al kol lachol asher asis. So now the Gemara says, Dilma tzibur shani. There might be a difference between the tzibur, when a tzibur has a sense of shame than a yachid. The Gemara doesn't comment on that, but I think it's actually worth explicating for a moment. The difference, what's the difference between a tzibur being embarrassed and a yachid being embarrassed? So I think and clearly a tzibur being embarrassed is a much greater accomplishment. I think the reason is very simple. When you are an individual who acts out, who does something inappropriate outside the norms of the tzibur, you immediately understand that you're an outlier and you're going to experience some type of shame because you'll be embarrassed in front of the tzibur. But when the values and the behavior of a tzibur have become warped, so then there's a sense no one to shame them from the outside, fundamentally speaking, because they all do it, right? If we're all thieves in our community, I'm not saying chas v'shalom that we are, if we're all thieves or all mechalei Shabbos, so we're not going to be embarrassed because everybody does that. It's only when I stand out from the group. So for a group, for a tzibur, to feel a sense of shame, to feel a sense of having done something wrong, that's a much greater form of tshuva. That's not tshuva being induced because I'm embarrassed at the people around me, because people around me are just like me. But that's a sense of shame being induced by a fundamental tshuva, by a fundamental recognition that what we've been doing is wrong. So the Gemara doesn't think that that's proof that an individual who is embarrassed immediately is forgiven for the sin. So the Gemara says, Ela mehacha. Vayomer Shmuel El Shaul. Let me give you the background just to this for a moment. This is truly the case of the person who kills his parents and pleads for mercy as an orphan in a strange way. Shaul HaMelech at the end of his life. This is one of the last chapters of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. He dies at the end of the last chapter, Shmuel Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph is probably Perek Chaf Ches. So Shaul wanted to know what was going to happen. The Philistines had gathered, and the next day was going to be the battle. And God didn't answer him. That's correct. This is right. I had to, when I encountered that expression, the witch of Endor, I had no idea what that was until it occurred to me. Oh, Endor and the Balas Ov. Right. I know some people come from the witch of Endor. I don't even know what the witch of is. That, like, I don't know where the expression is from, I guess, unless an English translation. But Shaul is looking to find out. Shmuel is dead, so he can't ask Shmuel. He doesn't have any prophets. Remember that he doesn't have the Urim V'Tumim. He doesn't have the Urim V'Tumim to consult because he wiped out Ir Nova Kohanim. That was the last story, right? That was Doeg HaDomi. He wiped out Nova Kohanim, and the one survivor, who was, I think, Evyosar, I think he was the survivor, fled and took with him the Urim V'Tumim. He took with him the Ephod. So Shaul couldn't ask a Navi. He had none. He couldn't ask the Kohen with the Urim V'Tumim because he had basically killed the goose that laid the golden egg. And God did not appear to him in a dream. So what is he going to do? So he goes looking for Baal HaSov. Well, that was a problem too, because in one of his better moments, he had extirpated all the sorcery, almost all of it, from the land. So he turns to his servants and says, do we have a Baal HaSov somewhere? And then this feels like something out of Princess Bride or something. And there's one woman. She's in Endor. Now, the way the story goes, again, how much is this? This is really one of those fascinating challenges for rationalists. Shaul goes to her. He disguises himself so that she shouldn't recognize him as the king. Now, he asked her, I need someone. She said, maybe you're coming to trap me because, Shaul wiped out all the witches. He said, I swear nothing will happen to you. Okay, so then she says, okay, who do you want? So he says, Hadli Liya Shmuel. I want Shmuel. So she calls Shmuel up. And then before anything, she screams out, Lama Rimi Sani Ve'ata Shaul. Now, why did you deceive me? Your show. Now, how does she know? So this depends whether you're a rationalist or non-rationalist. If you're a rationalist, you have to figure out how you deal with this passage. Because if you're the Rambam who believes that sorcery is not only prohibited, but it's nonsense and doesn't work, what's going on here? So if you're not a rationalist, if you work with the Medrash, so the answer is, yes, sorcery sometimes works. And she brought him up. But normally, apparently, people who come up through Ov come up upside down. But Shmuel came up right side up. And if only one reason he came up right side up, because of honor of the king. So she realized that it was the king who was asking. It was Shaul. That's if you're in the non-rational school. And then she goes on to tell him, Shmuel tells him, that when we get to that in a second, you're going to die tomorrow. Umachar Ata uvanecha imi, you and your sons will be with me, which is what happens. Now, the question is, if you're a rationalist, what do you do? I think Radak already quotes from Shmuel bar Chofni Gaon that basically the Balas Ovan recognized immediately he was Shaul. Shaul was like the tallest guy. He was Mishikhva Mamala Gavo Mikalam. She knew immediately was Shaul. She put on a show. And then she knew what was going to happen. It didn't take a genius to figure out what was going on, that Shaul was really, you know, on his last legs. It didn't take a genius to figure that out. So she basically conned him and pulled the whole story. So she made up what Shmuel would have said to him, or what she thought Shmuel would have said to him. Either way, in that line, so this is what now the Gemara says in Lehacha, Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, Lama hir gastani la losasi. Why did you disturb me to bring me up? Vayomer Shaul tsarlima od uplishtim nilchamim bi, Vashem sor me alai velo anani od. So God has left me and he won't answer me. Gam biyad hanaviyim, gam bachalomos. The prophets and dreams. And I have, I'm calling upon you to ask you what I should do. Now, when you actually look at the passage earlier in Shmefer Shmuel, so in the beginning of Perech Chavches, when it describes Shaul's conundrum, or the pickle that he's in, so it says the following. It says that by Yishal Shaul Bahashem, V'lo Onahu Hashem, Gam Bachalomos, Gam Ba'urim, Gam Banavim. When the narration takes place, God then answer him in dreams with the Urim V'tumim and with Nevi'im. But when Shaul is talking to Shmuel, he says, God didn't answer me both in Chalomos and in Nevi'im. But he doesn't mention anything about the Urim. Why doesn't he mention? Because if he does, Shmuel's going to say, huh, tell me, O King Shaul, why isn't God answering in the Urim V'Tumim? Shaul was embarrassed about what he had done. So that's what the Gemara says. V'ilu Urim V'Tumim, the first medium with line, V'ilu Urim V'Tumim lo ka'amar, Mishum de'katla de'novi ra'kohanim. He was embarrassed about what he had done. It was a badge of shame. Now the Gemara says, U'minayin ta'chilu le'im in Shmaya. How do you know that he was forgiven? Shenemar, Umachor ata uvanecha imi. Shmuel said to him, you and your sons will be with me. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan imi b'mechitzasi. In my mechitza, in my compartment in heaven. Right? That he was going to be dead is one thing, but to be imi would be in Shamayim as opposed to in Gehenna. That is one possible source for it. The other possible source that Shaul was forgiven is Rabbanon Amri Mehacha. So this is another really, really important story. It's worth repeating. Rashi actually goes out of his way to describe, to give you the details here. Again, this you have an excuse. You have both of these stories, one has an excuse for not knowing, because the way the Yeshiva Day School curriculum typically works, at least I don't know if they've shifted now, but when I was doing this, it's true a long time. In fourth grade, you started Sefer Yoshua. In fifth grade, you started Sefer Shoftim. In sixth grade, you did Shmuel Aleph. And in seventh grade, you did Shmuel Beis. But here's the deal. They didn't really care whether you finished the Sefer or not. You started Yoshua. You got to wherever you got. Next year, they started Shoftim. Same thing with Shmuel Aleph. Same thing with Shmuel Beis. Happens to be that both of these stories are located at the way ends of their respective Svarim. The story of the 31 chapters in Shmuel Aleph, the story of the Witch of Endor is in chapter 28. Most people probably don't get there. And the story of what's about to be described here is from chapter 22 of the 24 chapters of Shmuel Beis. And the story goes, 21. The story goes as follows. There was a drought for 3 years and nobody knew why. And David, beseeched God and asked, wanted to know why. And he was told, El Shaul ve'el Beis Hadamim, ala sher himisis ha-givonim. The way Chazal understood it, that there were two things here. One is that they never properly eulogized Shaul. That's El Shaul. That was number one. And the only reason they read it that way is because after what we're about to describe, Shaul, David then takes Shaul's bones and reburies them and they have a hesped for it. Now, the pshat in the pasuk is that Shaul somehow killed Givonim. Now, Chazal have a very powerful comment. Where did we ever see that Shaul killed Givonim? So the Gemara Yevama says, Shaul didn't kill any Givonim. He wiped that Ir Nova Kohanim. But in doing so, the Givonim derived their parnasa. They derived the parnasa from being the the Chotvei Eitzim and Shovei Mayim, the wood choppers and the water drawers for the Beis HaMikdash. That was what Yeshua cursed them, but that was their job. And because Shaul destroyed Irnav HaKohanim, he destroyed their parnasa. The Gemara Yevamah says that because he was mastered than their parnasa, it was malalav akas of kilo aragam, as if he had murdered them. So David has to appease the Gevonim. He needs mechila from them. So he says, what do you want? You know, tell me what you want. How will I achieve atonement for God's land? So they said, we don't want money. We want seven members of Shaul's household, his descendants, and we're going to hang them up. David didn't really want to do that. It violates biblical law. Incidentally, not our discussion for now. Of Layum Savas Abanim, for another time. The bottom line is David goes ahead and he grants the wish. And that's what they end up doing. Now, where did they? So the Gemara now quotes a pasuk, "V'hokanum Lashem." The Givonites say, "We want to hang them up to God." Begivas Shaul bechir Hashem, in the plain or the valley of Shaul, the chosen one of God. So Rashi points out, the Gemara says, "Yotz sabasko of Amra bechir Hashem." The Givonim didn't say bechir Hashem. That's not a term they would have used to describe Shaul. They wanted blood revenge against Shaul for what he did. When they said Velkadim Lashem Bigvah Shaul, that was the end of their statement. Basco came out and said, yeah, Bechir Hashem. Shaul was a chosen one, a beloved one of God. So that's how you know that Shaul was actually forgiven. Okay. So that I think is the last of Rav Chinuna Saba's Bishmei the Rav, Rabba Rav Chinuna Saba's Bishmei the Rav statements. And next time, now the Gemara is going to go back to the selection of the third parsha of Kriya Shema a little bit, or why we didn't make the third parsha of Kriya Shema even longer. God willing, we will begin with that next week. Isaac?
Yeah, just tangentially, when the witch of Endor brought up Shmuel, it says, Vihi Oso Lo Me'il, he was wearing a Me'il. This is the first record we have of what somebody was buried in. Then the Me'il, you know, the Mitzvah of David and the rest of the commentaries, his mother came up to Yerushalayim once a year, made him a Me'il.
I was going to say that clearly it's connecting the beginning of Shmuel's life to the end. Okay.
Right.
Very good.
His mother, yeah. So this is the first record we have.
Shkoyach.
Okay. Very good share. Thank you.
Any questions?
Hey, Rabbi Weider.
Yes.
Unrelated question.
Okay.
Have a little machlok in my family.
Okay, so I'm going to stop the recording, but I will take the question then. Okay. Yep.